Welcome. That's going to be the talk about PySim Shell, the new toolkit around SIM card editing, exploration, programming, and the like. Let's start with, why would you actually want to program your own SIM cards very quickly for in case somebody has some concerns on why anyone would want to do that? It primarily happens if you want to operate your own cellular network. Whether that's 2G, 3G, 4G, 5G, or even some 1G technologies use SIM cards already, like German C-Netz. You also, if you want to use it, you need a card. That applies to whether that's in free and open source software network like Osmocom or SRS LTE or NextEPC, Open5GS, Free5GC, OpenBTS, 8BTS, you call it. But also applies, of course, to proprietary small network implementations such as Amarisoft, for example. In the end, you always need some kind of SIM card to identify the subscriber to the network. For 2G, you can use some random third-party card, but it's not really convenient in many cases. If the IMSI doesn't match your MCC MNC, then you always need to use manual network registration, or you so on. There's lots of bits. So and for anything from 3G upwards, you need to know the card specific secret keys, of course, without an E after secret. In reality, then that means that you need to have your own programmable SIM card, because the normal SIM cards from public network operators, you don't get to know the secret key stored on the card. That's the entire point of having that SIM card, is to have a secure element in quotes that contains the secret keys for authentication that cannot be cloned. So that's sort of the reason why this tool exists at all, or why PySim exists at all. Little bit of smart card terminology. We will be talking about the card file system, and there's a couple of terms. The MF, the master file, is sort of the root directory of the card. The DF, the dedicated file, is a subdirectory inside the card, and of course there's hierarchical, so you can have DFs inside the MF. The ADF, the application dedicated file, is the directory of an application. Smart cards can have multiple applications, and in fact the GSM 2G SIM card did not implement applications yet, at least it was not a requirement. But then later on, ETSI specified what's called the UICC, the Universal Integrated Circuit Card. And then the USIM, which is what you use for 3G and higher networks to authenticate, is an application on that card, such as the iSIM, the IMS SIM application that you optionally have for IMS, which is Volteo or Voice over 5GS. Somehow I have an Italian inclination in my writing today, a regulare file, so there's always an E at the end, my apologies. The entry file is a regular file, is basically a file that actually contains data and not just other files like a directory. And there's two types of files that really matter in the context of SIM cards. So-called transparent EF, which is an unstructured file, like a file on a Unix system, basically some stream of binary bytes. And there's something called linear fixed entry file, and that is a file that consists of fixed length records. So you can seek to individual records. This is used for phone book and SMS storage, for example, but also for other bits on SIM cards. Maybe some also another introduction before we go into PySim on the topic of specifications versus proprietary bits on SIM cards. So in general, of course, SIM cards are fully specified by a number of specifications from ISO, ETSI, 3GPP. And the combination of all those specifications, which by the way is a lot if you really want to cover all parts of SIM cards, it covers only, let's say, the operational lifecycle state, to use another language from the smart card industry, which means that after the card has been issued, while it is in use, while it is used by subscribers to authenticate to the network. So the commands and the file system and the files and the content of the files and the permissions of the files and everything that's specified in those specifications is for that part after the card has been issued, once it is received by the subscriber and in use. That basically means in the end it's reading and writing those files and managing access control to those files and performing the GSM authentication or the UMTS authentication and key agreement. But it does not cover how the card itself is issued. And that particularly means it does not specify how the secret key material is stored on the card. It only says it is not readable from the card. And it's an implementation detail of the specific vendor of the SIM card, how those are written to the card and how those are stored on the card and so on. And that means that you need to have some support for specific cards, or some card-specific code inside a program like PySIM. While a lot of stuff is basically standardized, some bits are always proprietary to the specific card model and the card vendor. So the original PySIM, I call it classic for the purpose of distinguishing the older tools and the new member of the PySIM family, was originally developed in 2009 by Sylvain Monod. It's a long time ago, quite ancient software by now. Almost as old as OpenBSC and all of the Osmocom work at the time. And it started as a Linux or open source tool for configuration of certain cards, so-called SuperSIM and Magic SIM cards, which are cards that we could find on eBay and AliExpress and so on for very low money. That were originally built for cloning SIM cards and even sometimes for cloning multiple identities onto one SIM card, which used to work, at least in Germany, not beyond 1998 due to a weakness in the authentication algorithm at the time, but still apparently in some other countries and regions, this weak algorithm was used for a longer time, and then you could use such a card to clone the identity of a real operator card and so on. And these cards, they ship with binary-only Windows programs to actually write to them. And that was reverse engineered and traced and implemented as a tool in PySIM at the time. And over time, of course, that grew and there was more support for more cards was added and so on and so on. If you look at the PySIM code base before the PySIM shell was introduced, there's basically a library code structured in three different parts. One is the transport layer that defines how to exchange so-called APDUs, which is the protocol messages that are exchanged with cards. Then there is the commands module in Python that encodes the commands, such as, let's say, verify pin or select file or read binary and so on, and turns those into Python APIs. And then there's a cards module with a class hierarchy that implements different programmable SIM cards. That implements, let's say there's a super SIM, a magic SIM, a Sysmo SIM, whatever kind of SIM card, and that is implemented in this cards classes. And there's two programs, the PySIM proc for programming the card and PySIM read for reading the card. Let's look at the transport first. So in transports, we have a couple of transports, four of them at the moment. I think the two most used ones are the serial and the PCSC transport. The serial transport is for those super cheap serial card readers, looking like this, basically. For example, that's a very low-cost reader. It's basically a USB serial device with a crystal, and that's it. And the PCSE support is for the normal smart card readers that you attach to a PC or that are built into some laptops even, that, for example, use the USB CCID profile. A couple of more exotic options, which Vadim added later. One is the Calypso transport that you can use the L1 CTL protocol to talk to Osmo Combi B on a TI Calypso-based phone in order to use that phone as a smart card reader, basically. And the other one is the modem AT command transport, which uses AT plus CSIM commands to talk to a cellular modem. And AT plus CSIM is actually an GSM-specified command that most modems are supposed to support. So if you have some modem with AT commands, you can use these to talk to the SIM. In a very weird way, by the way, but doesn't matter. It works. There's some advanced features in those tools in PySIM PROC specifically that I want to point out, and that also again relate to the fact for what this has been designed. That is mainly the batch programming of cards. So you can have a CSV file instead of command line parameters, and the CSV file then contains all kinds of data, like the card individual data, and that is then written to successive cards. So you insert the card is written, you remove the card, you put in the next card, and so on. And that has even more recently extended with support for an external script by some class abstraction. So that we can drive motorized card readers and card issuing machines to program batches of cards in an automatic way without manually plugging in and removing cards from the reader. So it's great and it works for a long time, but it has some limitations that are difficult to overcome in the existing structure. What are these? Well, first of all, it supports only a very limited number of files or parameters that you can program. Initially, I think it started with IMSI, MSISD, NKI, and SMSP, and probably also ICCID. And that was sufficient for making a classic GSM SIM to work on your own network. Of course, even in 2009, you could program 100 different other files with all kinds of content, but that was not really relevant to making the card work at all. So you need those couple of fields and that's it, and that works. But of course, today, people are using PySIM to program smart cards for 5G networks and using Volte IMS and so on. And there's lots of more bits that they want to configure, and it sort of gets difficult in the way how PySIM deals with this. So first of all, you don't want to specify a command line with 250 different arguments to program a card and remember all of them in some way, and not make typos maybe, but that's just my comment. And the other problem is, of course, I don't think I have a slide for that specifically, the way how the code is written is sort of that there's not one write method per file or per parameter that you want to write, but there's one write method per card. And even though, let's say, writing some file is the same on all the cards we support, still you need to add the support to this for all the different card models, and that leads to inconsistencies, and some things work on some cards and they silently don't work on other cards because somebody forgot to copy and paste that line of code to the other derived class in the cards model. So is problematic, of course. And another problem is that I think the usability is sometimes difficult. That gets increased by the fact that we never had a user manual, only a very limited README, and also limited wiki instructions. And there are all kinds of automagic things happening in the background. If you don't specify all fields, then some fields are like dynamically computed, or there are random keys that are chosen, and so on. So that's all fine and it's good. And I'm not saying PySIM before that was bad. I mean, it had a very specific problem at the time to solve, and that was solved, and it solved that great. It's just the problem has the use cases have changed quite a bit, and that I think needed some new approach. And that approach is basically what became PySim Shell now. Now, the big question is, what do you do about the user interface? And by the way, I've been working on this idea of having a generic tool that represents all the files of a SIM card for a very long time. And there's LibOsmo SIM as part of LibOsmo Core as a C implementation of a lot of that that dates back many years, but it never really converged into a usable tool in the end. And finally, now I found some time to address this, and luckily also some others, particularly Philip, are helping with the development. So the question is, what to do about the user interface? I personally think for this kind of task, a graphical user interface are not a good idea, because you cannot really easily script them in a nice way, and you cannot automatize them. It's also hard to be portable across different operating systems. To test GUIs automatically, I mean, yes, there are solutions for all of these, but I find them rather unattractive. And the people who set up FOSS cellular software, or even proprietary ones, if you look at Amarisoft and so on, it's text config files and commands on a command line. And so people work with shells on like Bash and so on their Linux systems anyway. So they're familiar with the concept of interactive shells and command line interfaces with tab completion. So I thought, let's give that a try. Also, to give credit where credit is deserved, I think 15 years ago or so, when I did some non-SIM smart card work, I was using a project called CyberFlex Shell, by Henrik Plötz a lot, which also is an interactive shell to talk to smart cards. I think it's a bit dated by now, but it was extremely useful for those use cases at the time, so there's some inspiration to be borrowed from there. The core of PySim Shell is a Python module called CMD2. I guess most people haven't heard of it yet. At least I have. I don't think I ever encountered a program that used it. But it's a very nice framework in which you can build a command line interface shell type programs. And it allows us as the developers to focus on implementing our logic, like the commands and so on, and not the shell part itself. It supports interesting bits like output redirection to local files. So you can do like you do on a Linux shell, bash or whatever, you can redirect output. You can even pipe output through external programs, which I think is really nice. So you can read something from a card and pipe it through grep or whatever sort or whatever unique, all the normal shell tools that you have available. And the individual commands inside this shell are defined using Python argparse, which again is understood by a lot of people doing, I think I would say almost everyone who writes Python code would know how to do argparse to build those individual commands. It also has support for persistent command history. So if you open your PySim shell again, from you have the history with cursor keys to go back to the commands that you used last time you executed it. The commands can also be registered and unregistered dynamically, which we make a lot of use in PySim Shell, and it also allows full control over tab completion items, which we equally use. So how does this look like? And there will be a demo at the end, of course. So we have some global commands, of course, that are always active for things like PIN verification, enabling PINs, disabling PINs, unblocking PINs, and so on. But mostly you select your way through the card file system, and select, of course, is like CD in a normal shell. It's called select because that's how the smart card world calls this. And if we look here at the prompt, we see we are already in the prompt, we see we are in ADFUSIM, which is below the master file. And at the prompt, we type select EF.IMSI, which is then selected. And what we get is a JSON decode of the file control template or whatever it's called that is returned to the select command. So you see what it's a transparent EF. It has a certain file identifier, and it has a file size of 9 bytes and so on. And the prompt is also updated. In the end, then, of course, that EFIMZ is appended to the prompt where you are inside the shell, just like it would. I mean, you wouldn't select an individual file, but a directory on a bash or something like that, but it's similar in spirit. Then, of course, next is reading and writing bits on the files. So we have context-sensitive commands for this. That means, depending on the file that you have selected, those commands get added or removed. So you cannot use a command that doesn't make sense for this type of file. For transparent files, there's read binary, update binary. And for linear fixed files with the records, there's read record and update record. And there's an example here on how to update a transparent file. So we again take this EFIMZ example. We say read binary, and we get the hex representation of the file contents. We remember it's 9 bytes, so we get 18 hex nibbles here. And that is then how it's encoded on the card. Of course, it's not super easy to read, and we get to that. But now I can update the binary if I want, and if I have authenticated, of course, with the credentials to update the file. The EFIMZ is, of course, not a file that I can read as a normal user. I have to authenticate as the operator using an ADM pin. And I can update it, and then when I reread it, I see the last digit has now changed according to what I put in the update binary command. Nice, but yeah, not very useful. In many files that have complex encoding, it's rather cumbersome to approach it this way. So that's why there's encoding and decoding support. And each file in the file system is represented by a Python class. So there's the entire file system is represented by classes. So there's the MF, the transparent EF, the linear fixed EF, the ADF, and so on. And you can then, for each file in the spec, you can create a class in PySim. And we did this for most of the files already. And those classes then can optionally provide methods for encoding and decoding, which convert between the binary format that we saw and some kind of JSON format that you define when you implement that particular class. So now the same example with the IMSI, we do read binary decoded, and we get a JSON snippet with the IMSI. And as you can see, this is really just the IMSI and not any headers or whatever is else in the file. And you can update it. You can say update binary decoded, and then you quote basically the JSON snippet, but we changed the last 3 digits to 999, and when we read it again decoded, then of course we get the updated format of the IMSI on the card. That works for simple files that really only have one or two fields or so. But if the files get slightly more complicated, then, of course, we have the problem. The JSON documents are relatively large, and typing a comprehensive document with 15 different items to this single line update binary decoded command is probably not so nice. Of course, we could read it from some file, but it's also not very convenient as a user. And in the end, normally, maybe let's say you want to change one of 20 different fields in such a file. So there is a new command that was really just added a few days ago, which is called the set of commands edit binary decoded and edit record decoded. They basically read the data from the card, decode it to JSON, write it to a temporary file, then spawns your favorite text editor, whatever is defined in your environment. Then in there, you do your editing, you save and exit the editor, and then PySim shell re-encodes the JSON to binary and writes the result to the card. I will do a demo of that, and I'm extremely convinced this is the most convenient way that I've seen so far to do small interactive changes to a card. Of course, you cannot do that from a script with the editor and everything, but from a script, you don't care if it's a long JSON document because you use some templating or whatever and some variables to generate that. Another tool that Philip recently added to PySim shell is a command is called export. And it's a one-shot command that iterates over all the known files below the currently selected directory and dumps them. And it not only dumps them in some format that you can read as a user, but it dumps them in a way that the generated text actually becomes a PySim shell script that you can then use as input into PySim shell in order to write all that data back to a card. So export basically is a backup command. And if you execute the file that was generated by the export command, then that becomes a restore of all the content. Important to note here is that this, of course, only covers those files that PySim knows about that are supported by PySim, and particularly the proprietary additional files on the card, which may be not known by PySim and which contain data like key material, which maybe you cannot even read because maybe that is not even stored in a file, that cannot be exported by this command, of course. So it's restricted to those known files, and known means files that are implemented in PySim shell. Some advanced command usage that is also included. You can run script, which means some external text file is executed as a script inside PySim shell. You can also run PyScript, which means you run a Python script that has access to all of the state, classes, methods, and so on of PySim shell. And there's two interactive versions. One is IPy and Py that can run an interactive IPython or Python interpreter. And you have access to, again, the runtime state and the data model and everything of PySim shell. As a very quick example here below, where we are in the master file right now. We say py, then this spawns a Python interpreter. And then we have rs, which refers to the runtime state object. And we can say, what is the selected file? We will see it's a cardmf object. We can read the description and so on. And of course, we can then also use methods like select or write or update or whatever from this. And once we type control D or quit, we get back into PySim shell and we can continue in the PySim shell after executing some Python commands. Some other recent developments. We've introduced Sphinx to generate documentation for PySim. And added API documentation to all the new classes and methods that are used to build PySim shell. So it should be documented now how you can add or extend the PySim code base without having to work that out yourself. And we also generate a PySim shell command reference manual from all the argparse instances. So there's some Sphinx module that almost did all of the job that we needed. I needed to extend it a little bit, but it now renders. We can have a look quickly on how this looks like in after the demo. Renders a command line reference manual for all the commands in a nice way. Another new feature is you can keep your, for example, your ADM1 pin information, which is specific to every card, of course. You can keep that in a CSV file in your home directory, and then automatically PySim shell will basically read the ICC ID from the card, and it will then look up your CSV file, retrieve the ADM1 pin, and verify it so that you don't have to memorize or copy and paste those all of the time. Of course, storing key material inside a plain text CSV file is not the most secure thing to do, but I'm assuming that the people are using this are researchers for some lab network and not for any kind of production network where fraud or anything could become a relevant topic. So what's the status? Many, if not most, of the SIM ISIM files are defined. Some are missing. Those that are missing do have a comment in the respective source code that they're still missing. So at least up to release 15, we have either a file class or we have a comment in the code about it. But only few of those have actual JSON decoders and encoders yet. It's more getting more and more, but still, I think lots of them are missing, particularly encoders. That, of course, needs to be completed. It works quite nice for those interactive use cases, but what hasn't been really worked out is how to achieve feature parity with the classic PySim proc. So, for example, there's no batch programming, and if you remove the card, basically, you need to terminate PySim shell and you need to restart it, so there's no way to really, let's say, restart after the card has been changed, and there's no idea yet how to deal with these dynamic fields. Let's say you want to do batch programming, and how do you handle different IMSI for each of the cards that you program and so on. But We definitely want to also support those use cases from PySim Shell, because in the end, if we can unify those two, the interactive way used by the human user and the scriptable and so on and batch programming, I think that would be the best solution. And there's things that PySim Shell can also bring to batch programming use cases, of course, because it supports basically all the files. So yeah, small call for contributions. So I think it's already quite usable, but it needs help. There's still lots of files that need encoders and decoder methods. We need automatic testing of those, at least in the sense that there could be some generic code that decodes some file into JSON, re-encodes it, and compares if the binary in both sides is the same. What I also would like to include is to include the JSON schema information for each of the files together with the file in the source code, so that you can basically generate a combined JSON schema document that specifies all of the JSON format of all of the files in an automatic way. As I said, batch programming is what's missing. So if any of you knows Python and cares about SIM cards and having better tools, because despite GSM being around since 91 in production, we still don't have any decent open source tool until now. I hope that PySim Shell can become a decent tool. Some further reading with links. You can check that out once the slides are shared. Now I will quickly try to share a shell window so I can give you a bit of a walkthrough and a tour and a demo. So I'm starting PySim Shell here. I have a smart card inserted into my PCSC reader here. That's why I'm specifying -P0 as the basically telling it it should use the first PCSC reader that's around. It tells me the card type that was detected here, and it also detects what applications are on the card, the USIM and an ISIM application. And now I can basically type question mark, and I see the kind of commands that are available in their different groups. And of course, I have a help command, and I can do things like, let's say, help select. Well, help is not so verbose, because select is a very simple command. There's not much you can do. We can do for example dir, and we get a directory listing of the possible things that I can select. Now I'm in the master file, so now I could say select adf.u tab, and the tab completes to the USIM in this case, and I get this decoded response which the card responds to me, and I'm now in the adf USIM. If I type dir again, I get the files that are in the ADF USIM and that are supported by PySim so far. So I can do something like select ef.imsi, and then do the example, the read binary or read binary decoded from here. First of all, I need to authenticate. I can go back in my history from the last run. I can do the verify ADM because the card didn't change. I can use the same card. And now let's do this edit binary decoded, which then spawns the VI. And I can say whatever I want to do, modify, write that back. And it has written it to the card. So if I do again a read binary, I now see it has been changed to the first two digits. We just restore that so I don't end up with unexpected state in the card. This becomes even more interesting if I use something like ef.ad, which is a bit of a more complex file that has multiple fields. So we have several fields in the JSON document here. And if I then again do the edit binary decoded command, I go into the editor, I say the OFM should be false. And there I go, it has changed to false. If I reread it, let's just go back, set to true again. And it's true again on the card. So that's the kind of interactive. or let's say if I want to show how to do the grep, I mean, it's just like on the shell, I say something like that, and I get that line output grepped. To update individual fields, there's also a new syntax. So there's the edit that responds to the interactive editor, but now we also have an, now I have to remember my own syntax, update binary decoded. Let's see how that looks like. I can also say dash dash help and I get the help. So yes, there's the JSON path support. So what I can do is I can say update binary decoded. And I say, I'm copying pasting that to make sure you don't have to suffer through my typos. I say, sorry, dash dash JSON path. So JSON path is something like XPath for XML, but for JSON. And you can basically specify where in a certain document you want to select something or modify something. And I say it's true right now. So let's set it to false again. And then read binary decoded. Well, I could have kept the grep, but you see it's changed to false again. So even without the editor using this syntax, I can directly change individual bits in some more complex files on the card. Let's try an export. I mean, if I do it, well, actually here it will not work. Why does it not work? Because we are inside a file and the export works recursively from the current selected file. And if we are inside an entry file, there is nothing below us. There are no no children here. It's not a directory. So we get a runtime error. The exception is printed like this. If you actually want to see the full backtrace, there's some like similar to environment variables. So you can do set debug true. And if I do the same, then I get the full Python backtrace of what has happened, which is nicer for debugging. So if I go to select MF, go back to the root directory, and if I export from here, then I will see it's basically doing all these, dumping all the files and so on, and writing it in the syntax, the same syntax that I can reread from PySim shell. Okay, there's a problem. it's actually not a problem. It's just some files don't exist, and that raises an exception, which maybe it shouldn't at that point. If I didn't have the debug true enabled, probably it wouldn't have shown up that way. But so I can do export, and I say tmp export, and then it writes all of that to a text file. And that text file then I could do with run script. I could run it and it would overwrite all those files with the content from the export. I think that's it for now. Let me just see what are the IPy example. I could go through that or whatever, but I think that's the time to turn it over for questions. If anyone has some questions, I'll leave that PySim shell here running so we can try something in case somebody wants to see something. Keep in mind, questions right now are still on the recording. Will be switched off later, so if you want to not have your question or whatever recorded, we can take that later.
Is there some kind of syntax check, like if you call this editor and instead of true and false, you put something like lol? Will there be exception or at which state?
Yeah, after the save, of course. I mean, in the editor, it's the VI or whatever you configure as editor in your environment. So we cannot influence what happens there, but we can just do it. So select ADF USIM, select EFAD, edit binary decoded. And now I put whatever, I set OFM to max. And I get expecting value line 4, column 16, character 81. Of course, that information is not so interesting anymore. Maybe we could respawn the editor at that point or do something more advanced, but that's sort of what happens.
Nice, really nice. So this error comes from the PySim or from the sim driver, which tries to write and gets wrong?
The error is from PySim shell at the point it tries to encode it, right? I mean, the step is you edit the text file, you store the text file gets written to a temp directory, and then PySim shell reads that text file, tries to parse it as JSON, and then the JSON decoder fails, so you don't even get to the file at the write at this point. Yeah.
Cool. Thank you.
Any other questions, comments?
Do you plan anything to check if the card state is consistent? Like, for example, if services are enabled, but the files aren't, maybe they're present, but the files don't make sense or something like that. Or in this example that you showed just now, the JSON is invalid, but what about valid JSON but nonsense content?
Well, I mean, nonsense content, if it's logically nonsense, it's hard to catch, and you never know. Maybe somebody wants to actually test the parsers of a baseband and wants to put some strange bytes in there. So I'm not sure what we can do about that. In terms of the service versus file consistency, the problem is a bit, at least with the Sysmocom SIM cards, that all of the files exist, of course, so you can enable and disable services. But we cannot really check or do a validation like if the service is disabled, the file shouldn't exist, because you cannot remove or add files at runtime. All the files are created at card personalization, which is true for many card operating systems. I'm not quite sure what one can do at that point, but of course if you have some idea on what exactly the software should do, we could add a command that does whatever is there. So by the way, we can also add file specific commands. I mean, these edit binary decoded and so on, those are of course commands. As we can see, those are transparent EF commands, so there's all of the transparent EFs support that. But there is other, no, CD is not yet implemented. I always want a CD. Select EF.usd, the USIM service table, for example. If we do read binary decoded of that, I mean, that's a JSON array containing all the services that are enabled, which, well, it's not extremely user-friendly and not so nice. And by the way, you can also, if you want to see it in a different representation, you can say, JSON pretty print false, and then you get all of those in a single line response. Just some syntax sugar. So, but what we also have now, we actually have a file specific command of USD service activate and USD service deactivate, because I mean, that's the normal thing you would do in EFUSD. So we can say USD service activate 127, which was not activated before. And if we read it again, we see the 127 is added to the list. And if I say deactivate, then again, it's removed. So that's just a quick help about file-specific commands. So one could add some kind of check consistency with files or whatever command here, and then try to do some checks, maybe.
Yeah, thanks.
Is it possible to use PySim as a shebang, so this export become like self-contained file which I can just execute?
It's an interesting question. I haven't tried it yet, but I don't see a reason why it shouldn't work. Because it's it's standard in, maybe. Yeah, we have to try. It comes down to whether CMD2 supports this feature or not. CMD2 is very well documented, so I would more or less expect the CMD2 documentation to cover that if it's possible. I would expect it. Yeah, let me just open the chat. I haven't been paying attention to that. If there is some feedback. Tree, okay, yeah. Philip has suggested I also show the tree command, yeah. That basically shows from the current working directory what kind of files exist. Of course, now in the USIM application, those are those files. We also see the file identifier and the description. if I go back to the root, of course, the tree is longer and contains more files. Max is not true. Yeah, indeed. Any other questions? I mean, there's always lots of stuff that one can still do. For example, one of the things that I want to implement is to decode these pin status template data objects here, which are basically TLV encoded information about which pin is currently verified or unblocked or blocked or enabled or not. That for sure would also be useful to see. As I said, it's somehow encoded in there. I don't know the exact syntax, but I think it's something like 3 bytes per, 3 bytes per pin and then whatever. I mean, but that would be nice. The other topic in terms of decoding would also be to decode all the permissions of the files. There is the so-called access control conditions, I think is the name. So let's again select EFIMSI. We basically see security attribute reference expanded 6F0603. I mean, that is, again, not very useful, but actually what it tells us is that in the file 6F06, in the third record is the security attributes that define what kind of authentication you need in order to read and or write and so on those files. That is also something that definitely should be added to make it more user-friendly and to see what's happening. Can you read write files by ID? Yes, you can. I mean, we can, for example, do select 6F06. Oh, we cannot. That's actually a bug then, probably. We cannot select by ID when we are inside an entry file, but we can do it when we are inside a dedicated file. So we are in this file now, and this file was not defined before. And we see it has no symbolic name. That is here, and if we look at the commands, we again have a read record. So I can do record 1, record 2, record 3. The third record is the record that is in use here as the access control definition. And of course, we don't have a decoder because it's basically what happens if you try read record decoded and there's no decoder, you get the raw hex in JSON. To be somewhat consistent, of course, and we can write to it in binary. I don't think there is an edit, edit record decoded, we can actually do that again in this representation, which of course is not very useful. Let's not do that. By the way, if I'm not changing anything, it also detects that and says it was not modified, so it doesn't write to the file. And of course, there is also read records, and it dumps then all the records equally with decoded, but decoded now, of course, we don't have a decoder for this file.
Do we support editing the phone book and SMS content on SIM card?
No, select MF, select DF. Telecom, Dill. So the phone book, I think I haven't implemented, but SMS actually, I mean, it's not decoded as in the SMS content, but we can select EFSMS and we can then say read record decoded 1. And we get, there's no SMS on this card, but at least the outer structure, as in what is the status and as it's FF, the direction is null. It's not mobile originated or terminated. Somebody says the screen share was stopped. Can anyone confirm or deny?
No, it works.
Okay. Then Okay, yeah, three people say it still works. Merlin, sorry, must be on your end. So of course one could then introduce a decoder for the SMS payload and represent it as UTF-8 or whatever if one wanted. That's not implemented yet, but can be done. Can we do an authentication key derivation run? Actually, it's a good question whether we implemented that yet. We don't, I think. No, we don't have a run GSM algorithm or an. There's a separate tool in the OsmoCom universe which is called Osmo SimAuth or Osmo USimAuth that can be used for that, but this has not been implemented as part of PySim Shell yet. It's probably a good idea. Thanks for your attention and for the questions.